Our lesson text this morning is just one verse for our consideration. It comes in the midst of a conversation that Jesus had with a woman who was hurting. She's known best as the woman at the well, and her life was in shambles. She had been beaten down by the cares of this world. She had gone through men, man after man, hoping that somehow the next one would be different. But yet her soul was still unsatisfied. And Jesus passed by and came to her and spoke to her with clear, calm, and loving tone, and let her know that he had something to offer her that would satisfy her. And that's what I want to speak about this morning, is about the living water that Jesus has to offer us that we all so desperately need. Our reading is just one verse this morning, John chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now those were the words of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he gave a promise that was good to this woman, but it was also to us as well. The message of the Bible carries with it so many different applications. We can read what it is that he said to this lady and find out that the promise that he gave her was that she was drawing from a natural well and she was going to do chores and to get water. And he told her that he had water that he could give to her if she would ask, that she would never thirst again. And of course, her response to him was, "Give me some of this water." And he said to her, "Well, go and get your husband and we'll talk more about it." Because he knew her heart. He knew where she was. And he knew that she had things in her life that were keeping her from being able to receive what God had to give her. But this application is for us too. Jesus knows where we are. He knows what we need, and he knows that we need more than anything, we need his grace. And that's what I'm going to hopefully speak about this morning to you, is this scripture. I'm going to reread it again and then pray that the Lord would help me to preach to you this morning. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I, Jesus, shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life." Now, the word water here is a metaphor. He's not actually speaking about water, is he? He's speaking about something greater than water. Though we can get a little bit of a feeling for what he's talking about because we know something about water. First of all, it's necessary. It's an essential. We can't do without water. Now, these people that lived at this time really knew what that meant because they lived in the midst of desert places. So water was rare and water was essential and they longed for water. Now we so easily get water that it doesn't quite have the same effect on us because water is so accessible. But there are some times where we have felt desperate need for water. Just this last summer, whenever there was no rain for just a small period of time, farmers were crying out that we're in desperate need. If we don't get some rain, we're going to have to start feeding hay right in the middle of summer. And we don't have enough to go around. What are we going to do? In the year 2011 and 2012, we went through a drought in this country. And farmers went out in their field and they kicked the dust around and said, "Well, I'm just going to have to sell everything I have because there's no water." Probably one time it was the most clear to me was whenever I was preaching a revival in Idaho, and I went and visited these good people, and Idaho has some of the most fertile ground anywhere in the United States. But it really doesn't rain there during the summer. What they do is they build man-made pipes that they build from the mountains, and it snows in the mountains, and they build these pipes down to their fields, and the water comes from the snow, and they regulate it through through some levers, and they let out just the right amount of water. But one day I was out, I was preaching a revival there at that church, and in the morning I didn't have to go to work because I was so far away from home, so I went out to run. And I was running, and I knelt down as I stopped. I don't have to run very long before I stop. And so I took a break, and I grabbed a hold of the dirt, and I shifted it in my hands. And it was just dust. It was so fine. And it just looked so unable to grow anything. In fact, everywhere the dirt was, where there wasn't water, it was just dust. Because it rarely rained in this place in Parma, Idaho. But then I looked out at the field where they had piped the water down, and where the water came down to the field, it was fertile, and they're actually able to grow more in that ground than any other place in the United States because of the nutrients that are in that soil. And as I took that soil in my hand and sifted through it, I thought, this is just like us. We have so much potential that God has put in us because He's made us, but until the water hits us, we're lifeless and unable to bear the fruit that God desires for us to bear. Amen. And that's your life. That's my life. That unless the grace of God, and really that's when the Bible speaks about water, it speaks about the grace of God and the Spirit of God coming into our lives. So when He's speaking about drinking water where this woman would never thirst again, He's not talking about water at all. He's talking about the goodness and the grace of God. About how that His Spirit, whenever it comes into us, creates life. And that what we really need in our life is not just water. Our physical bodies need water, but our souls need the Spirit of God. Our souls need the grace of God and the presence of God. And the reason that our souls are so distant from where we feel like we need to be is because we need God in our life. And until we find Jesus to the saving of the soul, we're unable to be what we were created to be. And that's what this is about. Here's a woman that was sitting by the well, feeling like she was just distraught. Her life was going nowhere. She was on a dead end, and she needed help, and she didn't even know what she needed. And here came Jesus and said, I've got something for you where you'll never thirst again. And truly this morning, that's what I need, and that's what you need. Not just water for my physical body, but grace for my soul. And a spiritual nourishment that comes through Jesus Christ. Well, this morning I want to preach to you about this and basically share with you three words this morning that He mentioned that tell us something about the grace of God. Now, I want you to know this morning that God wants you to be connected to Him. Man. And I can say that, and I say that very personally. Not just that He wants you all to be connected to Him, but He wants you to be connected to Him. He wants you to be connected to the grace of God. He wants to live inside of you. He wants to be your Savior. The Bible tells us that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That God has made you. The Bible says that we were formed, but even in our mother's womb, with purpose. That God knows us even before we come into this life, and He has a plan for us. And His plan is to bless us, but in order for us to be connected to that plan, we have to be connected to God through Jesus Christ. Now, there are three words that He uses, or concepts that He uses here, that I want to bring to our attention for our thought this morning. The first one's grace. The first one's grace. The second one is satisfaction, and the third one is abundance. And these are all three things that He talks about today that will help us to understand what Jesus said in our text this morning. So the first one is grace. He said this. He said, whosoever drinks of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Key word, that I should give him. You know, salvation doesn't come to our souls by good things that we do. You've never been able to meet God's standard. You know it, and He knows it. And I want you to know that none of us have been able to meet God's standard. None of us have been able to earn the favor of God. And that's why God gives us grace. Grace means the unmerited favor of God. Salvation is not something that we earn. Salvation is a gift of God without our deserving. In fact, there's something about salvation that you should know this morning. That as long as you try to earn it, you shall never have it. As long as you think you deserve God's salvation, you exclude yourself from it. Amen. And some of you are in that position this morning, where when you think about, well, am I saved? You start thinking about, well, obviously I've been pretty good. I've done things. I've been kind toward my neighbor. I've not committed any grievous sin. Sure, I'm not perfect, but nobody is. I'm probably okay. I would say I'm saved. But do you see that when you start lifting up your merits before God, you're saying that that's what you depend upon? Biblical soul-saving salvation does not come by merit. It comes as a gift of God. Amen. Do you see what Jesus said to this woman? He said, I will give you water to drink. And that's how salvation comes. It comes by God's gift. Now, to drink the water is to believe. And there is the conduit through which God extends His grace, is faith. You might be saying this morning, well, how is it that I can access the grace of God? I wish that God would just pipe that water down inside of my soul that I could know it. And He says, I will, and the pipe is faith. Amen. The way in which God gives us His grace is through our faith. Now, it's not just believing that God is. The Bible says that even the devil believes that God is, and he trembles at the thought of God. Amen. You know, and that's the way that we are before we get saved, is we know God exists. We kind of come to the place where at least we think that it's more likely than not that He exists. But when we think about God, we tremble. Do you know the devil knows that God exists? Do you know that the devil knows that Jesus is the Messiah? The devil knows that his death paid for the sins of mankind. Amen. The devil knows that his blood is victorious over... He knows all those things. He knows, if you asked him, is Jesus the Savior of the world? He would say, yes, I know that He is. But you know, it wasn't that knowledge that brings salvation. Because you may know all those things. It's trusting in Him alone. It is coming to the end of yourself and trusting God. How does a man get saved? Well, a man gets saved by trusting in the Lord. And all repentance is, or all faith includes repentance. When it comes to God, we know that He is so holy and we're not. Amen. Don't we? Inherent in us, we know that. We start saying, am I righteous? Have I done good things? And immediately we can think about all the ways that we've fallen short. Well, that's the goodness of God toward us that doesn't allow us to be self-deluded that we're better than we are. Because we start to realize that we don't even meet our own standard. You know, this woman that was at the well, she had five husbands, and the woman she, or the man that she was living with was not even her husband. And Jesus knew that. And do you know that Jesus sat down at that well and had a conversation with her even though He knew that? Because it wasn't about the things that she had done. He knew that she needed Him. So he sits down and talks to her. And he knows all this. He knows her faults. He knows that she's broken. He knows that her soul is just craving something. And He says, I want you to know that the water that you're craving, if you ask it of Me, I'll give it to you. That's the blessing of the gospel, is that salvation is by grace. The Bible says salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This morning, the reason that men stay lost is not because God has not offered grace, it's because they've rejected grace. That God offers a gift and you try to do it yourself. God says the way to heaven is through my Son. He sent Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus shed his blood. Jesus rose again. And he said, you say, what does God want from me? He wants you to turn away from your life and your control and what you have going on. Let loose of it. And fall at the feet of Jesus. That's what he wants. He said, I know you don't have what it takes to save yourself, so I've made a way to save you by grace. He said, if you want the water that I have to give, what you need to do is ask me and I will give it to you. I want you to know it's a secret, because all the world thinks that God wants us to be churchgoers, or God wants us to be, people that follow the Ten Commandments or whatever it is. God wants you to come to Him and admit that you're a sinner. He wants you to come to Him and in prayer just say, God, I need your mercy. I need your help. I need what you can give me. And do you know when your heart gets in a place where you stop trying to save yourself and you trust in Him, God will save you? It doesn't take any time for God to save. That's always the misconception. They say, well, you know, I've heard people have to seek for years. You know, but the moment they finally let go and trusted in God, they got saved just like that. Sometimes it takes us a long road. It took this woman to go through 5 husbands and get to her 6th one and say, I guess men aren't going to do it for me. I mean, you think she's living in the 21st century, wouldn't you? I guess men aren't going to do it for me. I still feel like I need something, and not, there's something either wrong with all of them or there's something wrong with me. And Jesus said, what's wrong is you need what I can give you. Grace. We all need it. You might be able to delude yourself into thinking you can live without it, but you can't afford to die without it. You need God's grace. You need God's gift. 100% of the people that receive salvation received it as a gift. And I'll tell you one thing else. Everybody in heaven, 100% of the people in heaven, whenever they get to heaven, they're not going to brag about one thing that they did. They're just going to say, you know, Jesus did it all. And if it weren't for what he did for me, I wouldn't be here. Because it's clear then that we are all there by grace. The second word is satisfaction. That's what he had to offer, is satisfaction. Satisfaction means full gratification of desire. Now that takes some doing. Full gratification of desire. I teach adjunct in economics class. In our economics class, when we're talking about the economy, we say this, that there are scarce resources for unlimited wants and needs. And I always ask the class at the beginning, I say, you think this is true? Let's think, do you have anything that you want? And everybody in that room that lives, listen to me. We're in the top 1% in the world. We've got clear running water. Every one of us, access to it. All of us have clothing, right? We all have our needs met, and we all have wants. Wants. We would even say we have needs, you know, but that's debatable. Because I think our needs are probably met. But you know, the human race has unlimited wants and needs. Unlimited. And if we have all of our outward needs met, many times what we lack is what we need inwardly. We have needs inside. The soul without Jesus is never contented and is always grasping for more. I want to say that again. The soul without Jesus, the heart without Jesus, is never contented and is always grasping for more. For more what? Well, it can be anything. Wealth, power, knowledge, pleasure.
I was reading in preparation for today in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I stopped because I got depressed. If you've ever read the book of Ecclesiastes, you know what I mean. He just says, I tried everything. I built vineyards. I built gardens. I built statues. I did all these things. I had wine. I studied books. I did all these things. I was just trying to figure out what's the meaning of life. And you know the book of Ecclesiastes, he said life under the sun is just vanity and a striving after wind or a grasping after the spirit. So if you think about it, what Solomon, the wisest man in the world, he said this life under the sun is just vanity and like you're trying to get a hold of air. It's like you never can quite get everything that you think that you need or want and nothing satisfies. I thought pleasure satisfied, it didn't. I thought money would satisfy, it doesn't. I thought pleasure would satisfy and I just wanted more pleasure. I thought silver would satisfy and I could never get enough silver. My soul was just not satisfied. You ever know anybody like that? Well, I would say just look in the mirror, because we're all like that to some degree.
Amen.
We all just want something more that we don't have. And this woman was that way at the well. She was just always wanting something that should, it just couldn't fill her heart. There was somehow a need in here that she couldn't identify, that everything she grasped for just fell out of her grasp and she couldn't get it. And so she was discontented. C.H. Spurgeon said, the heart is insatiable as the grave till Jesus enters in, and then it's a cup overflowing. The heart is insatiable as the grave. The grave is pretty insatiable, isn't it? People die every day. It's like people just keep on dying. It never gets satisfied. Our hearts are that way until Jesus comes in, and then it's a cup overflowing. I like that quote. Because our hearts really are not satisfied, and God made us that way. God made our hearts to not be satisfied, to not be at rest until we find rest in Him. Did you know that? God created our hearts to where there would be this desire that we can't explain, that will never go away until we find our satisfaction in Him. God created us to serve Him. God created us to love Him. God created us to know Him. And until we come to that place, we're just always going to be looking for more until we find Him. Satisfaction gratifies the desire of the heart. We'll continue to drink from the water. Continue to drink from the water, but we won't need to go elsewhere because Jesus satisfies. And I always wondered about that, about how that He said, if you drink this water, that's the quote, if you'll drink this water, you shall never thirst. And I thought, you know, what about David, who said that he thirsted for God like the deer thirsts for the water brook? What about him? He seemed to always be thirsty. And then it hit me. It's not that we'll never be thirsty again. It's that we'll never be thirsty for something else, because He always offers us what we need. Once we find the water that God provides, the grace of God, we'll know that we found it. People will say, well, how will I know that I'm saved? You'll know because God's Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. You'll know that you found it. How will you know that you found it? You'll just know that you did. You say, that's such a riddle. But when you know it, you'll know. Boy, it sounds like a riddle to me whenever I just said that. But it's the truth. How do I know I found the grace of God? Because I drank of the water.
Amen.
And when I did, I called out to God in my despair and I said, oh God, have mercy on me. And then He did. And water came into me, not literal water. The Spirit of God came into me and it satisfied me. And I said, that's it. That's the answer to life's questions. That's what I've been searching for. That's what I needed. I didn't need church. I didn't need baptism. I needed Jesus.
Amen.
And when I got Jesus in my life, I said, you know, that'll satisfy. And you know what? I get in trouble. I get in trouble when I start thinking that the things of this world are going to satisfy me like Jesus does. And they never do. You ever been thirsty and then drank a Coke? And what do you say after you're done? My kids will tell you, they'll say, oh, I want a pop, I'm thirsty. And they'll drink some pop and they'll say, can I have some water? Because the Coke doesn't satisfy, the sugar doesn't work. It's what you think that you want, but then you drink it and it's nice for a little bit, but guess what? You're thirsty, but you can drink water and your body is satisfied. It's what you needed. Your body was telling you, I need water. Water came in. That's what I needed. Your soul is saying, I need the grace of God. I need Jesus. When it comes in, you'll say, that's what I needed. I need God's grace. I need His favor in my life. I need Him to forgive me. I've been holding on to all this guilt and shame. And what I really needed to know, that God was okay with me, that He had forgiven me. And I've got a whole lot of reasons why that God shouldn't be okay with me. But whenever I asked Him, I said, Lord, have mercy. He showed mercy. And He said, not me, He said that He was okay with me. And it wasn't because of anything that I did. It was because of what He did. Because God looks at Jesus and God is satisfied. I got underneath Jesus is what I did. God looks at Jesus. He looks at you and He's not satisfied. He looks at me, He's not satisfied. He looks at Jesus, He's satisfied. I'm in Jesus. And Jesus advocates for me. And He advocates for you. And because of that, my soul is satisfied. It's like that thirst that I had in my heart, that desire got fulfilled. And you know, it's not that I never get thirsty for Him again. But I realize that going after all the other stuff doesn't make me happy. And I came to the knowledge of that because Jesus came in. And then the last word is abundance. Because when God gives us something good for us, He doesn't just give it to us a little. He gives it to us in abundance. The word abundance means great plenty. Great plenty. And God's salvation, His grace, is great plenty to our souls. It's enough. I thought about how that Paul said. He said, wherever sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Isn't that a wonderful promise in the Word of God? That no matter how many sins that we've committed, that God has more grace than we have sinned. And he goes on in the 6th chapter of Romans to make this wonderful argument about how that because of this, we shouldn't just say, well, shall I keep on sinning that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. How can you that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So his argument wasn't that we should just keep on sinning. His argument was that no matter how many sins you've committed, God has more grace. Because you might be asking the question, not only will God save me, the answer to that is yes, but can God save me? Can He look past? Will He look past? May He look past all these things? And the answer is, where grace or where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And that's what we find. You know, the Apostle Paul, I want you to know something about him that wrote those words. He was a murderer. He murdered Christians. That's what he did before he found Jesus. He was on the road to Damascus on his way to slaughter Christian people. And God said, his name was Saul back then. God said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. God had been dealing with him. And he had been hardening himself against God. It is hard for you to continue to kick against the goads. I am dealing with your heart and your rebellion against me. And he just fell on his face. And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus. I'm the one you've been persecuting. And he saved him there. He didn't say, go get your life cleaned up and then I'll save you. No, he got on his face. He called out to God. He begged God for mercy and God saved him there. That day, it wasn't like he had to go through a process. He just got himself down before God and humble. And he said, God, have mercy on me. God saved him. And we'll say, well, where did he save him? There. We always like to just ruin things by trying to be so technical.
Amen.
He saved him there on the road to Damascus. He saved him. How do I know? Because whenever he got a chance to tell his testimony, he told about that.
He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's what Paul said. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost, I'm the chief. That I might be example for all others, that there's no length that God won't go to save people.
Man.
And that means you. Paul felt like the reason that God let him get so far away is so that he could save him, so he could be an example to others that you can't get too far away for God to love you.
Man.
So on the authority of God's word this morning, I want to say God loves you and that you're not too far away to be saved. There's a song that comes on the radio, and I don't know the name of it, and I don't know all the words of it, but there's a line in that song this morning I heard when I was out early before the sun came up. And it said, what if I told you that you're one step away from surrender? That you're one step away from letting go. And that really spoke to my heart, because sometimes people feel like they're so far away from God that it's going to take a lot, a long process. And he says, maybe God has gotten you all the way along this line so that you came to today. And you're just one step away from saying, I'm going to let go. I'm just going to fall at God's grace and just beg Him for mercy. You know, sometimes we think we're so far away, but the Apostle Paul said that God's not very far from any one of us. In fact, He's much closer than you think. In fact, Jesus is here this morning. And look around. I get to look around at you. And I don't mean this in a bad way. But there's nothing special about this group. Oh, you're special to me. You're special to God. But there's nothing really special in this group. There's nobody of note here. Nobody in the world says, we've got to meet that person. We're just common, ordinary folk that have all found out that we were sinners. And the Holy Spirit does a good job revealing that to us. Revealing to us that we were sinners. And nearly most of the congregation here, the ones I know, I've heard you tell about a time where under the weight of that sin, you gave it over to Jesus. He took it, and you got saved. And that's the reason we congregate this morning. It's not so that someone will look at us and say, well, hey, so-and-so's a good guy. He came to worship this morning. I don't know anybody around here we're trying to impress. The reason we're here this morning is because we want to give back worship. Because Jesus gave us so much. He gave us abundance. You ever experienced the abundance of God through His grace to the point that your soul was satisfied? When Jesus said that I'll do this for you, this woman said, give me some of that water. That I don't have to come back here and draw from this well anymore. She didn't understand. He basically told her through a series that even though I know that you're a sinner, I'm still willing to give you this water, but the water I'm going to give you, it's not literal water. It's a spring of water down inside your heart that springs up to everlasting life. Now, there may be some here this morning that you need that and that you say, if I could just have that, that's what I need for my heart. I need to be saved. I think the first step is admitting that to God. Not to me. To Him. And when you start asking God for that, you start praying to God about that, you start saying, God, I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need that in my heart that the preacher talked about. That's what I need. And you start searching for that in prayer, then He leads you by His Spirit to the place where you find it. And you'll know you found it because your soul will be satisfied. I'm thankful today for the amazing grace of God. Sometimes I fail the Lord. Too many times. I fail the Lord. But I'm thankful for the grace and mercy of our God. The living water that He provides and the satisfaction to the soul. And I just pray that everybody knows it. God bless you. Let's have a song. And let's stand together and sing a song and worship the Lord. If there's any that need to pray, we invite you to pray. But mostly we ask that we would just give honor and glory to Jesus, for He deserves it. And He ought to be praised this morning.